The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The long summer holidays, the best time of the year for the children, but for the parents it can be the worst time of the year. Many parents experience a lot of stress when thinking about what to do with the kids for the summer break. Now, it's one thing if you're a stay-at-home parent, you might be able to occupy them a bit, but suppose both parents are working and have to do the commute and they've got this wilderness of time available for their children, what to do with them, how to control them, how to mind them, how to watch them. Well, joining us now to talk about how to survive the summer holidays with kids is Aoife Lee, parent coach of parentsupport.ie, and Tom Dunn, presenter with News Talk. Good morning and welcome to the pair of you.
Morning,
good morning,
Pat.
Tom, talk to me. How bad was it? How good was it?
It was, well, yeah, it was a mixture of both of those things, Pat, it has to be said in retrospect. But I can remember at the time it was blind fear, really is the word I would use to describe it. When we realised when they were about around 5 and 7, we've 2 girls, 2 years between them. And I just remember one point when they both had 3 months of holidays and kind of standing at the school gate one sunny Friday and people saying, what are you going to do with them? And I hadn't a clue what we were going to do with them. And we had both of us self-employed, both of us at home a lot, but needing to work while at home and really handing them to each other and saying, well, you look after them. And then I can remember a blind panic breaking out, and mainly my wife, Audrey, doing most of the work naturally. But it was trying to find
what did you
camps.
Say there? You slipped it in quietly, naturally.
Some of in relationships, there's always a dynamic, Pat. And, you know, I'm happy to say in ours, one of us is a very clear-headed, hard-working type of person. And then there's me. So, yeah, Audrey's, her natural strengths, I think, come into play in this area. So why stand in her way, Pat, is what I say. She would go online and find these places. And I have to say, she found some absolutely magic places. And when I think back now to the times we had with them, that was an absolutely magic time.
But that is the selective memory, though, isn't it? That you remember the
100%.
Sun-kissed days down at the beach in Sandy Cove or whatever, or in the forest walk somewhere in Wicklow. You remember those. You don't remember it's raining outside and it's not stopping anytime soon.
No, and that would often happen when you went on holidays, when you would take your holidays in Ireland and after a long four-hour drive, find yourself locked in a hotel somewhere and not be able to move. But you find ways around things, and you're completely correct. My memory goes to beautifully warm, sunny days when I dropped the two of them onto a bus. There was one art camp they used to do that was 2 weeks up in the mountains, and they would get on a little bus in the morning, and I had the vision of them going off with their little packed lunches. And with 2 girls, you can kind of dress them similarly so everyone know they're sisters, and stick them on the bus, and then you'd get them back around 4 o'clock in the evening. At the end of 2 weeks, they would produce all the art they'd produced during the 2 weeks. So there'd be paintings and little clay figurines and all this sort of stuff, and it was wonderful. And they...
I like
it.
This notion, your memory of them is saying goodbye to them. What's you gone
say,
for the day?
Oh, totally. Tell the relief of driving home. A little bit of guilt.
And with that guilt, he was cut off in his prime by the internet. Anyway, Aoife, you've been listening to all of that. Is Aoife gone as well? My goodness. Aoife Lee. Aoife, we'll go to you now because you've been listening to Tom. The problem of coping with the children being available for recreation for 12 or 13 weeks in the summer. How do you cope?
Yeah, good morning, Pat and Tom. I know it just fills me with, dread because we're literally 4 weeks to go pretty much. But, I think for a lot of families, and I see it a lot in my work, you know, we put a lot of pressure to keep everyone busy, and obviously as families continue to work, and similarly to you, Tom, in your family setup, both my husband and I are both self-employed. I think there's certainly an element of planning, and I would be the planner in our house when it comes to the kids. But
as Tom would say, naturally,
yes, the boss. But it's not always easy, but creating some kind of a timeline and schedule and working around maybe annual leave as families hopefully will get, take some time off as well. But depending on the ages of the kids can often determine the plan. So when you've got the summer camps, which we do this summer, I've also got older kids, a preteen and teenager, and that creates a whole other agenda.
Yeah. The different age categories. I mean, if you've got younger children, you may still have some parental leave available to you, which would be unpaid, but still you can take time off.
Yeah, and there's sometimes knowing that that's an option can be a relief. But again, it's about being realistic to, you know, look at what your working schedule is like over the course of the summer, being realistic to what you can and can't get done on certain days, recognizing when you've got your parenting hat on versus your work hat on. And that can be tricky. And as we know, you know, as we see more and more families working from home, there are a grey area. So I think often it's that kind of having a plan in place and getting the kids involved as well with that. Like that with the rainy days, we've all been there and we've pulled our hair out, and it's sometimes when we know that there's some kind of a plan in place.
Okay, now Aoife, in terms of age, you've got a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old and a 15-year-old. Mm. At what point do you give them total autonomy? In other words, you say maybe 15-year-old, off you go. Where are you going today? I'm going to see my pal X or my pal Y, and we're going to spend the day at the beach. Do you let them off?
Well, for us, and this is going to be different for every family, but, you know, routine will look different for my preteen and teenager than it will be for the 6-year-old, because they sleep longer and they're up later at night. But it's always, and this is something that we will be practicing and encouraging over the course of the summer, but, you know, encouraging a purpose in their day. Like what you mentioned there, meeting friends, maybe an opportunity to earn, you know, a few bob. I think, and I've seen a lot of my clients talk about the age where they're not old enough to work. So there might be a lot of hanging around. As it happens for our 15-year-old, he's actually up quite early. So he's quite the minority. But he does, you know, we find during the holidays that he can kind of, he hangs around until everyone is up, potentially at lunchtime. So this year we know we have to encourage him to kind of have something to do in the morning. You can't force it, but like I said, if we have the kids part of these chats, they're, you know, and they feel like they're having some influence and there's some negotiation, they're more willing to work with us.
Tom, how did you handle them when they get into that teenage space?
Well, that's a very difficult, that would be an ecumenical matter, Pat. I think I haven't really figured that one out. Audrey hasn't really figured that one out yet. That's a really hard thing to do, because there's times when they really don't want to be with you. And that can be the most frustrating thing in the world, where you can go on holiday and you're sitting in a very nice restaurant and they turn to you and say, "This is the worst day of my life." And you just have to try and avoid throwing them off the end of a pier.
I mean, the best way, if you've got a stay-at-home parent, and it mightn't be you, it mightn't be your missus, it might be a neighbour who has kids the same age, and they decide that they are holiday HQ and the kids kind of gravitate to that space. That's a wonderful situation if you can find it. That
it
becomes
that
the headquarters for
us.
All activities.
Yeah, I'm happy to say we seem to be one of those houses, which I really, really like. It does mean at times you feel like you're just, I don't know, renting a room in your own house. You walk in, you meet people you've never seen before, and they're helping themselves to stuff in your fridge. You have to just look at them and say, you're with Sky, are you? And just carry on from there. I like that, though. I don't know whether I have a bit of a tourist attitude to all this. I kind of feel like these days will end one day and you look back and say, I wish the house was full of people I don't know again. So, I go with the flow a lot, but it's such a changing dynamic. And it seems that once you have one thing sorted out, once you have the summer camps, well, you know exactly where you need to send them to. They don't want to go to them anymore. And, you know, if somebody works out an easy way of doing this, they should publish a book immediately.
Now, there are people who can't afford summer camps and will be, you know, they're at their wits' end what to do. And I don't know how to advise them. What do you do if...
Well, I have one or two suggestions, Pat, I can tell you now. I mastered a few of these things. And the one that was top of my list, and I can't recommend it to enough, you need to live near the sea, that's the one caveat, is crab fishing. The hours you can pass with a piece of bacon tied around a rock and a string is hard to describe. We've spent afternoons there. The children are, I think, and we all are really slightly afraid of crabs. They're scary looking individuals. So if you get a few of them, when you've one clinging onto the bacon, you get them into the bucket and then you collect a good few and then let them off. That we call that the crab derby, where they run back into the sea. Absolute white knuckle excitement. hours pass. They bring their friends. They get to master it after a while. They're the best crab fishers in town. Mm. They bring their friends
so,
to show
so
off.
So even though Audrey is a splendid chef, you don't cook what you catch.
No, they'd be too small and there'd be too much preparation involved. The little bit of tiny bit of meat. They're also probably babies that need to be put back in. I think it'd probably be wrong to take them out of the sea. And also, I know it's a cliche, but the dead zoo is one of the most fantastic experiences you could have. That's the Dublin name for the Natural History Museum. I can't describe the days we've passed in there. And that, again, is free and rainproof. Because it's a great place to go when it's raining. And the hours just fall away in there. It's a wonderful place. And they're, as I say, 15 and 17 now. If I suggested to them to go to an afternoon, right now, they would go immediately. It's just one of those places that's seared into their minds and they love it. The zoo itself, sensational
that does,
too.
That does cost, of course, the zoo. But it's a great day out. There's no question.
Wonderful day out. And so it's takes all day.
Those long, long holidays, though, if you can't be filling it with the dead zoo or the live zoo or crab fishing 5 days a week, it doesn't do it. So what do you suggest?
From our perspective, and I'd agree with Tom there, like there are certain activities that we can do that are for free. But again, like that, it's about being practical as well. And if you reflect on the work element, it's knowing, you know, recognizing your most productive times of the day, and that if they have got a morning of, you know, summer camps, or let's say the teenagers are still in bed, it's making the most of those times of the day. But the likes of Quilshe.ie have some fabulous trails. But also, it's actually okay for the kids to do nothing either, unless there is, you know, immediate need of attention when it comes to, you know, when they're really small. But it is okay for our kids to be bored. And, you know...
That's easy to organise.
I know. And I know it's easy for me to say, but having kids the last 15 years, and for all of your listeners, we have all heard and still hear, I'm bored. And sometimes it's that kind of reflex of, okay, right, plan of action, entertainment. And, you know, for our kids to experience boredom, there are great benefits, believe it or not. And that is that it allows their brain to kind of calm somewhat, but also know there isn't going to be a constant run of entertainment. And it helps them and encourages them to be somewhat self-sufficient and creative in the nicest possible way.
Okay, neither of you have mentioned screens. Tom?
They spend so long on the screens. It's the greatest curse of the modern age. I don't know where to begin that. I don't know a parent in the country who's got a handle on that. Getting the screen
out of your child's
hand. I'm just
wondering, can they be bored?
So hard.
Once they have a screen available to them, are they ever bored? I mean, they can look at TikTok endlessly, hours on end.
Endlessly, yeah, absolutely endlessly. And sometimes what they're watching isn't the worst thing in the world. We caught, when she was about seven, the first one, she'd been on the internet when she wasn't allowed to be on the internet. And we said to her, you know, well, what are you watching? And she said, I learned how to debone and skin a salmon, she said. And we tested her on that. And she had indeed learned to debone and skin a salmon. So sometimes what they're up to on the screen, it's not the worst thing in the world. But the amount of time they can sit sedentary and just not exercising. And it's a different child when a phone goes into their hands. We held on until they went into secondary, so 12, 13, when they got their phones. But the difference in them is just remarkable, the moment they get them. So many different worlds open up to them, with bullying and everything else that goes on. It's a whole different ballgame. And yeah, it doesn't help in trying to get them off the couch or to do things, to go for the walk or get out of the house. All that just becomes much more complicated. So I don't think any of us are wild fans of our
children. No, I think not. I'll read you some of the texts. 9 week summer holidays for primary school, too long for children and for parents. Thankfully, I have a supportive manager. I've flagged which weeks I've booked half-day camps and full-time camps. Camps are very expensive and most of my disposable income is gone for July and August as a result. Unpaid parental leave is not an option at present. I'm taking 2 weeks off, but that leaves 7 weeks of juggling work, office and camps. Another one, as a parent of a child with physical disabilities, summer is a nightmare as she can't go places her siblings can and camps are not suitable in most cases. I've been asked to hire my own special needs assistant by a camp. Another camp has in their pages, while we are inclusive, be aware of your child taking our tutor's time excessively. That's unfair on other pupils. So consider that before booking. And she says, I close the webpage. There is nothing but our DESH school camp for 2 weeks. So I have 6 weeks to fill with children with different abilities and to match them in all inclusive places. Another one. I love the summer halls with the kids. When younger, they all played with pals out on the green, entertained themselves. We as neighbours helped each other out, brought kids crab fishing, beach and park if the weather was good. Some did camps. Love not having to be organised and not prepping lunches. My kids, 30, 28 and 22, love the halls and the freedom. That's from Katie. And there's crab fishing competitions in Wicklow for kids in July and August. So there. Tom and Aoife, I suppose it was different before. That sense of freedom that Katie recalls for her children who are now 30, 28 and 22.
It was glorious. I mean, we were let out the front door at 9 a.m. in the morning and really not expected back till 9 p.m. apart from meals. And during that time, we got up to the most fantastic things, playing football and swimming and just playing games together. It was, and going on little trips together and getting the bus into town and going ourselves to the Dead Sea. I look back on that and I can't believe we're so far removed from that world. The idea of letting our children out the front door for 12 hours, that is just completely gone, absolutely gone. And it's a pity, there's no question.
It is a pity. Anyway, Tom, thank you very much. Tom Dunn, presented with News Talk, and Aoife Lee, parent coach of parentsupport.ie. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.